warm up
fully,
is complete.
We're fully warmed up and ready for this podcast.
We've only been talking for an hour, and now we are back on the podcast. Appreciate all you guys listening. You know what was really cool, and I have a question for you, Gabe, but you know what was really cool? And then I have a story. So I have a question, I have a story. I really appreciated the messages I got from people who listen to the podcast, who we made like your top five on Spotify. They sent out like this like end of the year thing. It was really cool. I had one guy who tagged me in this, and he listened to 700 minutes of the podcast. That's a lot of minutes of the podcast. Like, that's not bad. I mean,
700 minutes. Let me do some quick math.
I mean, it's not that, I mean, you know, but he did that. That's huge, right? I mean,
that's a lot.
Yeah. And he was the first person to, I mean, it's not that much if you've been listening to the show for a while, but if you just got turned on to the show, that's a lot of minutes. So anyways, it's not that many shows, but it is cool. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been listening to the show. We really appreciate it. I have a question for Gabe, which will lead into a question for everybody else that is, you know, listening to the show.
Before we get into your question though, I have to point out Spotify Wrapped is like one of the most genius marketing like
beautiful
ideas anyone has ever had. They do such a good job at making it fun, making it shareable, making it. And like the thing is like, they've tapped into this, like people's music choices and podcast choices too. Like they say so much about you, and people are always eager to share, like, you know, what you like and what you love and whatever. And to make it so easy to share like your top artists, your top songs, your top podcasts. And I don't know if you watched on your Spotify, like the full story and how they do it, how they even have like an artist message from like your most listened to artists. Like,
yeah. And you can say thank you or whatever.
They've done such a good job making it such a fun thing at the end of the year. I mean, I would assume many people like use Spotify more because they kind of like look forward to at the end of the year, like, oh, what did I listen to the most in anything? Anyway, my Spotify Wrapped was all urban Latino. So that's what I listened to, but dude, no surprises there.
I need to look at what mine came up with, but I agree with you. I think that they did something really genius there. I want to pull this up real quick. Family brand. There we go. So I think Spotify is killing it. We'll see what happens. I think his Joe Rogan contract is coming up pretty soon, so I'm curious what will happen there. But to topic of conversation, I was talking to a gentleman named Chris yesterday on the Family Brand podcast, which is actually 2 days ago. And he asked me a question to finish the podcast and kind of threw me. I had a feeling something like this was going to come because he's really about like, imagine you're building a brand for a business and you create core values, a mission, a vision for a business. His theory, he has 5 kids. Him and his wife had basically, they hadn't filed for a divorce, but they had separated and they got back together again. So he's gone through some things and he now coaches other families on how to be more connected. So before we were done, he's like, hey, what is one family value that the Kalipa family should be known for? Right. So let's just say the Giannis family, right? When people like think about the Giannis family, like, dude, that family's about X, right? Or about Y, whatever this is. And if you're listening to this podcast, this is something that, you know, I got asked right off the bat. So what immediate word comes to mind? Just like one word immediately comes to mind.
Because it's a family value, I think it's kind of like a cop out, but the immediate thing that comes up to me, and it's a big
way to
reason.
Preface it.
Well, it's kind of like a cop out because it's family. And like, what I mean by that is that, you know, one of the big reasons that, you know, I fell in love with Ariel and we hit it off so well was one of the things that we shared was how close we both are with our parents. The fact that, like, you know, when we met, we were both in California, and like, you know, when I was in California, like, called my parents every single day. And I know that a lot of people don't do that. And that's more maybe something that, at least in my experience, is very big in, like, you know, Hispanic, Latin culture. Like, you grow up very close to your family. And for some people, like, you know, you look at memes or videos and it's like, oh man, like, got to call my parents, or like, haven't called them in like this time. Like, for me, it was always like, you know, when I'd be commuting from work back to my house, like, call my mom, how's she doing? Let her know about my day. Like, it was just par for the course. And Ariel also has a really close relationship with her family. And, you know, people like think it's crazy, but like, we moved to Texas, we bought our house, and within a year, Ariel's parents moved to Texas and bought a house adjacent to ours. my parents moved to Texas and lived 15 minutes away from us. Like, for us, family has always been everything. And I know I'm super fortunate to have a very close relationship with my parents, and Ariel the same. And now that the families are together, you know, we get together for dinner on Sunday nights, probably at least once a month, probably twice a month. And that's always been something that's been very important to everyone. So kind of a cop out because it's family value, but family, but that would be the one thing that I think, you know, I would like the Yanez family to be known for.
Yeah. And so I think that's a great answer, because it's your answer, right? It's what does that mean? And something I'm reflecting on is like how, you know, cause if you have family meetings and you come up with a set of core values that the Yanez family is going to be representing, or Khalipa family is going to represent, I think that's a cool theory that I'm going to continue to dive into. But when he asked me, the first thing that came to mind, again, this was like the first thing that came to mind, I probably need more time for reflection on this, was dependable, was the first thing I thought about. And like, what I mean by that is like, we do what we say we're going to do, and we back up our words with action. And we want to be known as a dependable family and friend. Like, that's important to me. Like, I want someone, if they're going through something, to know that they could depend on me as a friend and a family member, and that I could depend on them in return. And that's an important fundamental characteristic that I want people to think about when they think about our family. And so I would just ask anyone listening to this, like, whether you have a family today or whether you want to have a family in the future, like, what kind of word would you think about? And the reason why I think that's important, and it kind of sparked this idea in me, was that what am I doing to make sure I'm instilling that core value in the kids, aside from like walking the walk, talking the talk, but also just letting them know, hey, this is a really important characteristic for our family, is that we back up our words with action, and we always are there to support. Always. We are always dependable. It is non-negotiable. If there's something going on and our family needs us, we drop everything we're doing and we're there to support, because we expect that same thing in return. So that was the word that came to mind for me.
I love that, man. I think the other thing, and I know this is true for you, but and hopefully true for a lot of people.
So are you doing a second one now? Is that what you're doing? You're doing two words now?
I'm doing a second one. Well, just because, I mean, and this is on par with the podcast, is fitness. You know, I think we're very fortunate that like, but it is a family value, right? Because I think that for some people listening, or some people out there, it might be that, like, you know, you train, right? But is it something that you are instilling, or you're able to share in some way, shape, or form? Doesn't mean that, you know, your spouse wants to do exactly what you do, but is fitness something that is not just your passion, but the passion of you and your partner, your spouse, and then something that you're instilling to your kids because it's a really important thing, and something that maybe you're inspiring your parents to do? Like, my mom was not always into fitness, like, at all. It, you know, really funny stories, when she first took her like foundations class at the CrossFit gym back in Long Island, she was so like, had never worked out. She was like nervous to do like a pretty like upright ring row, because she was scared she was going to fall over. Now she doesn't miss a week of going to CrossFit 3 times a week. Like, that's her minimum. And she does it every single time. She knows it's important. Cool story. You know, she's been back to Ecuador a couple of times, where my grandma's, you know, getting on the older side. And my mom is the only one out of her 10, because she's one of 10, that is like really like strong enough and like to really help my grandma, like to be able to like pick her up a flight of stairs and stuff. And for her, it's now such a sense of pride. You know, she's going to go back next month and spend a month there to help out, because she can do that. And the reason she can do that is because fitness has been a big part of our lives as a family. And that, to me, is just one of the coolest examples of, you know, it's not that fitness has always been a big part of my mom's life. It actually hasn't. She, like, was never the athlete. She was never like, you know, oh, gotta go work out. But she found that later in life, in large part because it was a passion of mine. And now it, like, in many ways is part of her identity, and has increased her quality of life and how competent she can be to help the people that matter to her. So really super cool. And goes to show you that it's never too late.
Well, it brings up the idea, and I wrote this down too, was this idea of caught, then taught. So what was interesting, this is like the second thing I got from this podcast, right? I'm reading a new book too, by the way, that I'll tell you about later. But anyways,
we got to talk about
that book, caught or taught. So the reality is, like, is it caught as a kid, or is it taught as a kid? And I think that goes back into this dependability. This goes back into fitness. This goes back into family. Like, for example, for me growing up, like if I look at like my dad, it was just caught. It wasn't even taught. Like his support for his mom and dad and his sisters and his family is unparalleled, unmatched. And if you look at my other rest of my family, same exact thing, but that was caught. It was never taught. It was never like my dad or my father-in-law or whoever never sat me down and was like, listen, family is important or whatever, or dependability is important, whatever. It was just shown. It was just caught. So as a kid, I caught it and I wasn't taught it. And it was something I was thinking about when we were doing this podcast with Chris was, am I using fitness as a way to, the kids should just catch that. I don't even need to teach it because they just see it. It's just there. It's just present all the time. And they're going to be more likely to pick it up if they catch it than be taught it. Different way of looking at it, right?
Yeah. I mean, but I love that. I've never heard it voiced that way, but it makes a lot of sense, right? It's just, yep, if you're surrounded by it 24/7, it doesn't have to be like a, hey kids, lesson number one is this is how we always do that. It's just like, I mean, that's always how it's done. Cause that's always how I see dad do it. That's always how I see mom do it. I've never seen it done differently. So that's all I'm going to learn versus like, remember to always be nice to strangers or remember to like always say hi, like just do those things. And like, how would they know any different? They wouldn't.
They wouldn't. And you know, on that note about your mom, which is super cool being in Ecuador, you know, we did. So if you listen to this podcast and you subscribe to our newsletter, it's so funny because we get responses all the time on the newsletter. And if you're not subscribed, you need to subscribe. But I get it all the time because I'll respond back to people and I'll be like, dude, blah, 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 Jason. And they'll always write back like 50% of the time. If this is really Jason, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, dude, it is me. Otherwise I wouldn't be signing off Jason. Like it is me. So if you are on our newsletter and you are replying to him, it is me getting back to you. And we had a really cool reply from a gentleman. One of the first things we do when you sign up for our newsletter is we ask you kind of like an accountability check-in of like, what is your why? Like what sparks your, you know, kind of drive to be fit. And one of the gentlemen said that he will have to take care of his son for the rest of his life was the way he worded it. And the way I gathered that, I think Gabe did too, was that his son must have some type of, you know, situation where he needs to take care of him. And I picked that up as like, he needs to be able to pick him up. He needs to be able to take him places. And for him, that was his why. He needs to be fit and capable, not for today, not for next week, but for the rest of his life, so he can make sure he's there and present for his son to take care of him. And that was a strong, like strong why. And, you know, so if you're sharing those why and those purposes with us, we really appreciate it and, keep sending them our way.
Man, I wasn't ready when I read that response for the first time, man.
Dude,
I can't imagine. But the way you wrote it too, like I was trying to find it so that we could share it on the podcast, but
I'm anyway, totally not doing it justice, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, you know, the way you wrote it was such a like powerful, like the reason I do this is because I know that as my son gets bigger, like, you know, it's going to be more work for me to help him, to help him move, to help him do these things. And like, that's why I can never like, you know, can never let my fitness falter because this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm signing up for. This is how I'm going to support my kid forever because it's the hand that I've been dealt and I'm training for it. And it's like, shit, man.
You're just heavy.
Yeah. It's heavy. It's heavy, but like, dude,
it's powerful.
Shout out to that guy, man. Like,
dude, shout out to any parent. You know, like for me, there was a while, I think I told you this, Gabe, there was probably like a year where I had to carry Ava most of the time. And fortunately at that point, I mean, she was 5, 6. So she wasn't, you know, amazing. You know, she wasn't a 16-year-old, you know, young man or 20-year-old adult. But dude, I mean, that gets hard. And I prided myself on like, I got this, like, I got it. Like I'll take her up the stairs. I'll do whatever I have to do. So there's a while that she couldn't walk. You know, so anyways, I'm not comparing the situation because that was a very like micro small moment, but it did give me a lot of pride to know that I could do it. I imagine for this gentleman, like he's in that same mindset where like, it is not an option to not be able to help his son and he will be as fit as possible for as long as possible to be able to do that. And that's powerful stuff. So I think all of us could take something away from that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say enough how much I appreciate everyone that reaches out about the podcast, the newsletter, that shares why they're getting after it. Cause I think it also puts into perspective, you know, like why I train, you know, and why I do the things that I do, because what excuse do I have to not go out, get uncomfortable and get after it? If there's other people out there that are doing it for those types of reasons, like, man, like I have it so good and I'm so lucky and I'm so grateful for that. And at the same time, like I have to be so prepared for whatever life throws my way, because I mean, you also never fucking know, man.
You never know. I mean, dude, we were given a talk yesterday to Customs and Border Protection. And so they're one of our partners. We service their SRT unit. But we were just giving a talk to like general Customs and Border Protection. So that's a very wide group of people. And Gabe and I were giving a talk. These are all the people you see at the airports. These are people that are special. You never know who they're going to be. And we were giving a talk on what it means to us to look the part, act the part, and never allow momentum to get to zero. And I just think that those things, we're just storytelling and sharing our perspective. And for that audience, like I signed up to be a dad and a husband, and I signed up to be able to protect myself and my family. That's what I signed up for. And as an entrepreneur, I signed up for other stress, which we talk about sometimes on the show. But these guys are signing up
for a lot so of much more. Stress.
Yeah. But these guys are showing up for so much more, right? They signed up for protect themselves, their family, but also the United States, right? And as a byproduct, you know, it comes with a lot of responsibility. And so we really appreciate everyone in Customs and Border Protection. We appreciate all the law enforcement, military. And we work with a lot of you guys. And, you know, it's just something that there's even a deeper why, because you sign up for it, you know, like it takes a lot.
On a little bit of a separate note to that talk that we gave yesterday, for CBP, a really cool thing is, and I know you sent me a message like immediately after we signed off, like, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but we crushed, like we did a really good job. It was like, it was a really good talk, but
pat myself on the back.
But what I was thinking about is, you know, like I was so, you know, there are some days, even now with the podcast, like there are some days where like we'll finish recording and I don't think there aren't days anymore where we finish recording and I was like, man, that was bad. But there are definitely days where I was like, okay, you know, like that was good. And there are days where we get off and I was like, dude, that was fucking good. Like that, like we were on it. Like I never once like, you know, misspoke or didn't know exactly what I wanted to say or didn't like finish a sentence. And I was like, that is exactly how I wanted to say it. And I think yesterday was a really good example of like, dude, I got off of that and I was like, that was really good. Like we were like hitting our stride from minute zero to like minute whenever we were done recording. And the takeaway from that was, though, is that me and Ariel started a podcast in the summer of 2018. And we've been in some way, shape, or form, like having conversations on a microphone about stuff for that long. And podcasting with you, like, dude, I remember clear as day the first time you invited me to like be just take part in the Business of Fitness podcast at the time with you and MDB. Dude, and I was so nervous. I was so nervous. B, I think I might have said like three things the whole time and like tripped through my words and like whatever. And just to see how far you go in any endeavor, in anything. But this was the most recent example I was thinking about, just because yesterday we got off and I was like, that was so good. That people just don't realize, I think, how long it takes to get that comfortable with something and to feel like you're that good. And the reason people don't get there is because you'll do a month of podcasting or a month of writing a newsletter or a month of whatever, and you're not quite happy with how much progress you've made because you don't realize that like it's not going to happen in a month. It's not going to happen in a year. Like it takes time to get really good at these things. And now it's like nice to like kind of bask in the fruit of our, you know, our labor of like, we've spent X amount of hours having these conversations, getting comfortable with each other, like figuring out a flow, figuring out like what I really like to talk about, what you really like to talk about, that I think we've gotten to this podcast to a place where I'm like, I'm super proud of it. And I know that we can still get so, so, so much better. But I was just really thinking yesterday about how long it's been since I ever started, like, you know, talking on a mic with super small audiences. I think when, you know, me and Ariel started a podcast, it was probably just our parents listening to now, which I know we have, you know, the podcast is showing up on people's Spotify top five. Like,
yeah, for
that's
sure.
a big deal. There are people, like a lot of people listening to this thing. Like, people like reach out to us all the time. Like, I know you get this more than I do, but people will be like, hey, like, I'm a big fan of the podcast. So anyway, it's cool, but I think it was a good reminder of these things don't happen overnight. And if you want to start a podcast, start a newsletter, get better at anything, I think going into that with that expectation and the level of patience you'll need, like, you'll get really good at it. You just have to get through that hump of like, man, like, I didn't get as good as I wanted to in a month or a year or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is like 400 episodes. I know that we rebranded and we've gone through a bunch, but I want to say between Business of Fitness, Amrit Mentality, and this, like 400 episodes in, and it does take time to kind of get through those learning curves. And the big takeaway I had on CBP, this is something I'm really reflecting on just for anyone who works with law enforcement or different groups and gives inspirational type talks, is that it needs to be exactly that. I think that for a lot of years, at the core of what I believed in was coaching, because that was my foundation. And, you know, I still believe in that, meaning like I just re-upped my level 4 with CrossFit because I care, right? I want to be a great coach. I want to go travel the world and meet with the best coaches and learn as many techniques as I can so I could be the best in the world at what I was doing, right? But for the average person, for most people, most of the time, they're not trying to figure out where their triple extension is going to be on a snatch. They need to just get inspired to even exercise in the first place. And so yesterday, my big takeaway was, originally I wanted to go in and talk about, you know, workout formatting, how to train, how to break up your splits, what time domains to work on, looking at different energy systems. That was like my in my head. I'm like, how do I optimize this guy's time? You know, talking about these things. But at the heart of it, what we ended up talking about was just getting people inspired to get moving and using storytelling and key terms to get them there. Once we get them there consistently, we could talk about how to optimize their programming and the new app that we're, you know, releasing in a couple of weeks that's going to have the best programs in the planet. But if they're not motivated to go work out in the first place, the programming doesn't even matter, right? You have to be consistent doing something. And then we could talk about the, you know, X's and O's. So that was my big takeaway with CBP yesterday, is that I used to give talks that were very much so about like, what would I do 3 days a week, 1 hour a day? Now it's like, how do I get people inspired to train? And then once they do that, I'll tell them exactly what to do. Just a different mindset.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people too will come to you for, hey, like, I have 3 days a week, I do BJJ, whatever. Like, what do you recommend? Like, I think that like, people will more proactively ask those questions. But I think the outward message that people just need to hear, even if they're not yet at the point where they're like, hey, what should I do, is the kind of stuff that we talk about, you know, personal responsibility. Like, you should be capable to protect those around you. You should be capable to provide for those around you. You know, training hard is the catalyst to improving many other areas of your life, because it's 100% in your control. Like, those are the things that we talked about yesterday. And that's what, when you have a group that wide where you don't know, some people that are listening to that probably don't work out at all, right? Like, because it's a big population that, if you're just taking a sample size from the average US population, most people aren't moving. They're definitely not moving enough. They're waking up, they're going to work, they're clocking out, and they're coming back and watching Netflix. And for those people, the message they need to hear is, hey, like, you need to take some personal responsibility and realize that that isn't okay for reasons X, Y, and Z.
For sure. For sure. That was a good conversation we had yesterday. I'm excited. If you're a part of a law enforcement group out there and you listen to this podcast, hit us up. We'd love to, you know, do more talks. We just want to inspire more people to get moving tomorrow morning. So men's
Train club, hard men's club
tomorrow morning. So here's,
I'm excited for the one that I'm going to be a part of. Is that going to be an official Train Hard's men's club in Southern California?
We got to promote it. I got to talk to you about that. So that's going to be, depending on when this comes out, like, it's supposed to be Tuesday morning. So tomorrow morning is Friday morning, 5:30 a.m. So every week I've been doing these Train Hard Men's Club. I look back, I've been doing them every week now for 4 months. And I was thinking about it. And I was like, what can we do tomorrow? Right. And so we did hill sprints one time. This is like a month or two ago. And the ranger came up to us and got mad at us because we took up all the parking. And I hadn't thought about how that would impact people's parking, but it took up all the parking, right? Because we had 50 people out there hill sprinting. So he goes, hey man, you need to get a permit for this. Permit's cheap, but you got to get a permit. So I call the Parks and Recreation yesterday and I'm like, hey, or like a week ago, I was like, hey, I want to get a permit for this. They go, it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks and you need to, you know, the application fee depends on what you're doing. I'm like, okay. I was like, forget that. I don't want to do that anymore. So tomorrow morning, what we're doing is we're meeting in a parking lot down the street from my house. And on the way to my house is a steep hill, really steep. And we're meeting in a parking lot. We're doing biceps and triceps pump.
I can confirm it's a very steep hill.
Very steep. And we're doing buys and tries. So the way I promoted it on the text to the group, come in, meet me here, get a buy and try pump, and then hill sprint. And so I went and tested this. I call it the new 5-3-1. So I'm just going to lay this out for anybody who wants to try this. We're going to take a dumbbell. We're going to do like curls.
I love Innovation Kalipa. Innovation Kalipa is my favorite.
Dude, it's innovation. So I'm going to use a single head dumbbell, do some curls, tricep extensions, maybe narrow grip pushups, whatever, right? After that, we're going to go over to the hill. And we're going to do 5 short sprints up this hill. This hill's gnarly. We're going to do 5. And they're going to be like 20 to 30 seconds. Then we're going to do 3, you know, 30 to 40 second intervals. Then we're going to do 1 from the bottom to the top. And I've ran this hill a few times, but I forgot how hard it was. It's super tough, man. And so the way that I'm going to work this with this group, and I get a lot of questions about the Train Hard Men's Club and like how they could do it nationwide or globally. All you need to do is find a group of guys and say, meet here at this time. We're going to do something hard. That's it. It doesn't need to be more than that. Like you could do stairs, you could do running, you could do sandbag, you could do sled work, you could do whatever you want, but you don't need to overthink it. It's just getting a group of guys together and doing something hard. And I think tomorrow it's going to be good. MDV's coming to that one. So I think we're going to have a solid group. He's going to be riding the bike though, because his hip. So I'm going to put a bike at the bottom of the hill. I'm going to put a bike at the bottom of the hill and that's going to be his bike. It's going to be dark outside. 5:30 is going to be pitch black, dude. And we're going to be just running up this hill. I'm not going to bring any music either. So it's going to be silence.
Dude, that's good stuff. What's the rest intervals in between the sprints?
So in the beginning, it's not going to be long, right? So it's a 20, 30 second sprint, probably, you know, minute down tops, boom, you do it again. It's on the 3, it'll be like a 90 second rest. So because just for you to walk down took me about 90 seconds just to walk down from where I went. It's going to be great. But what I'm going to do is the way I'm going to pitch it as a, like a quote unquote coach, I'm like, look guys, the only one that matters is the last one. That's what I'm going to say. If you are done, you got your buy and try pump and you're feeling good and you need to sell out these 5 and 3, not the end of the world. Do a few of them, but I have to, it's non-negotiable before you leave. You need to go from here to the top of this mountain and get back down. Like that's non-negotiable. So that's what I'm going to pitch it tomorrow.
I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah. I think we're going to have like 30 dudes and it's just going to be pitch black in a residential area. That's why I'm not bringing the music. I mean, maybe someone will bust out their phone or something, but the idea is like, dude, just doing hard shit. It's going to be great, man. It's going to be great.
We got to get a Train Hard Men's Club meetup going in Texas. I'll figure that out.
Dude, you got a few people in Seguin already. Like you just got to do it, man. And that's why like the San Diego thing is like, man, do I want to do it? It's like, yeah. Is it going to be a little bit of work? Yeah, kind of. But it's like, dude, we just tell people to be there. And the hard part is on social media, you never know who sees what. But we want to start doing more of these. So in the future, we're just going to keep building momentum on them.
No, I love it, man. I mean, I'm down. I'll be there next week. Obviously I'm in.
Yeah. It's just getting guys together. You know, I ordered in some sleds. It's going to be good. Like I just feel like we need more and more of this and, you know, I feel connected to it. And we're making really cool group of people that just show up every time and they're creating relationships. They're fostering it. It's almost like the Train Hard, networking event, you know, like oftentimes you have, like, I had this vision of like, imagine like a Train Hard country club where instead of playing golf and drinking whatever you're drinking, you're doing CrossFit, you're doing jujitsu, you're doing hard shit, and you have a sauna and a cold plunge, and you're just surrounded by guys who want to suffer because it makes them feel better. Oh, that would be a cool spot.
I have an interesting, that reminded me of something, and I have an interesting question for you. So Do you know this guy on Instagram? Actually, I sent you one of his videos, but you might not remember. Goob. I forget like the full handle, but he has a huge following. I'm not going to look it up right now, but he's like Goob something. And his shtick is that he does these like expose videos of people that Photoshop their images, fitness influencers that Photoshop their images.
Oh yeah. I think you sent me one of those. Yeah.
We don't have to talk about the specific example I sent you, but yeah. So essentially he calls out people that are like, you know, hey, like, you know, body positivity, like this and that, like, don't let, you know, anyone tell you blah, blah, blah. And then like their pictures are doctored. So he like will zoom in to the specific areas where like they make their hips smaller or guys make their arms bigger. And when he actually zooms in, it's actually pretty obvious, which is the funny part, because like the furniture in the back will be like warped because really? It's clearly Photoshopped. Yeah. That's what's in the videos is he goes
in. If you zoom in on my triceps, you will not see any doctoring up.
No. And I can promise you those things are that big in person. but yeah, so that's his whole shtick. But recently he's also been doing this thing where like, he's doing these exposés on like, what would you call them? Like not mindset coaches, but like these like masculinity like coaches and gurus. Yeah. And one of the things he like posted a video of is there are these things. I think that honestly, Bedros does something similar to this, right? Like, doesn't Bedros have a company where like you pay for like essentially what is kind of like a watered down version of Buds?
Yeah. For dads and their sons. It's like it's a rite of passage for the young men to turn into men.
Okay. So very similar to that. And it was a video. Now, to be fair, the video that he shared was a little cringy. It wasn't cool. And it just seemed like the people that were doing it, like the cadre, were like kind of like trying too hard. And the whole video was like, these guys were sleeping on sleeping bags in a gym. And like, they come in, they turn the lights off. They're like screaming at them with a megaphone, like, get your shit, get outside, whatever. And then like in the comments, and his commentary on it too, was like, are grown men really paying money to essentially be bullied? And a lot of the comments were very negative of like, you know, these guys like were never in the military and are just kind of like role playing, like essentially making fun of these guys for like paying money to like, you know, be screamed at and woken up early. And I think it's an interesting, it got me thinking, because I've always been one to like, I'm attracted to that stuff. Like, I'm attracted to the idea of like being uncomfortable and not necessarily being yelled at, right? But like, there's something to be said about putting yourself in a position that is incredibly uncomfortable, that is challenging, where some growth might happen because, you know, you might not be able to push yourself to those extremes on your own. Now, would I pay money for something like that? I don't know. But I think it's a similar kind of thinking to like, why I do the cold plunge. And some people might not get that, or why I try and work out as hard as I do, or why every now and then, like, I'll take you up on a 2K road time trial, even though I know that it's going to be like an abysmal, abysmal process. So I guess the question is, what are your thoughts on some of this stuff that is, you know, like essentially boot camp, but not right. Like you're paying for it. And is that stuff really necessary for maybe some of the stuff that we talk about, right? Like the train hard mentality, and how different is what you're doing with the Train Hard Men Club than something like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. So full transparency, I haven't done like the, where I get yelled at or get like sprayed on with the hose, but I've done a lot of like, I've done the go ruck, like in the ocean at 2 a.m. I've done the Navy SEAL O course. I've done quite a few like of those type of things, right? Like I've done the one that I did in the middle of the night with Goruck was like absolutely miserable. I mean, it wasn't like we were getting yelled at or whatever, but we had to like carry logs. We had to go in and out of the ocean for hours in Santa Cruz. So anyways, I think.
But I think before you move on that, did you like, was that like a net positive experience for you? Or were you like, no, I don't need to do that ever again?
I think for me, it didn't really help me. I mean, it was fine. I don't want to do it again, but the reason why I did it was because I wanted to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And so the way it started was we met in Santa Cruz, like at midnight, and we went in and out of the water for hours. Then we, you know, carried logs and we did a bunch of stuff. Like we did a lot of hard things together, and it was a big group of us. and I don't like the cold. So for that reason, it was hard for me. And, you know, you get wet and sandy. So they take you in the ocean, you go arm in arm, you have the waves crashing over you. They're doing pushups in the ocean. Then you come back out and you get sand on you and your partner back to back. Then you go back in the water, get back out, back in the water, back out. By the time you leave and the sun's coming up, you have sand down your butt and it's just uncomfortable. It's just shitty. Like you're in. And I think for certain people, they need that in their life. I think the work that Bedros is doing in particular is very powerful, because if you read like the book that I had sent you recently, something, I got to pull up the name of it, but they were talking about how every culture in general has like this way where a boy becomes a man, but that is gone. Like, oh, boy is adrift. And what Bedros is doing is kind of creating something where boys now become men. So in most cultures, when girls become a women or adults or whatever, it's when they get their period. And through that ceremony, they go and do something, right? And even in our traditional culture today, right, that is a tangible sign, right? But for young boys, we don't have that anymore in the Western culture, whereas many other cultures. And he brought up the Jewish culture. He brought up like tribal cultures. He brought up a bunch of cultures that there's something that occurs, whether you have to understand and read the, anyways. So I think for that matter, Bedros and what he's doing is incredible. I think for grown men, my opinion on that is that no one should have an opinion on it if it's helping somebody. Like, dude, really? Mm-hmm. Like, just why are you so negative, bro? Like, if this is impacting that man in a positive way, where he leaves that experience and feels better about himself, he overcomes some type of adversity, he unlocks potential in himself to be a more capable man and human, then shame on you for bashing him for that. Because you probably do a bunch of shit that you're doing that isn't like, you know, you get what I'm saying now? Would I be the one who wants to go through it or to deliver it? No, that's just not my style. Like the Train Hard Men's Club is more like, I'm doing this with you. I'm not here to bark at you or scream at you or whatever. I'm just here to inspire and to create connection. That's what I'm about. Do I call people out if I think that they're being really soft in their position? Of course. I'm like, hey, bro, I know you could do more. Or I walk up to him, I just whisper, not whisper, but like, I'm like, hey, John, like, bro, I really appreciate you being here. Like, I know you're going to get more out of this if you just push a little bit harder. Like, let's go, baby. Come on. Like, I'll do stuff like that. But it's not like I'm undermining or belittling them in any way. But some guys need that. And I think that if it's successful for them, then shame on you for hating on them, because they're just trying to better themselves.
Yeah. And there was a lot of piling up in the comments and stuff. And I thought it was, because I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I think that it's one of those things where it's almost like fitness, right? It's similar to fitness in that, like, don't talk trash about Zumba if Zumba is the one thing that's getting someone that was on the couch to go out and finally enjoy moving and getting a little bit of sweat. Like, is Zumba going to be as beneficial to you as maybe, you know, lifting weights a couple times a week and running some sprints once a week and, you know, doing some like zone 2 cardio? Like, no, but guess what? Like, some people just don't want to do that and really like dancing. So they might want to Zumba. Like,
exactly.
It's yeah. I think it's very counterproductive to talk smack about things that do solve a problem for some people, even though they might not be your cup of tea.
I'll give you an example.
We should have Bedros on the podcast. He'd be a great guest.
Yeah. I like Bedros. I talk to him pretty often. So I'll give you an example. Brooke Wells releases a new book today. Now, I had an early access copy to it, and I have my own opinions about it. Right. But this guy, Matt, says his comment, no one cares about Brooke Wells. She's clearly only in it for fame and game. It's evident in her multiple coaches change of the years that have resulted in games finishes, blah, blah. And she will endorse anything that gets her name and picture out. I mean, anything. And like O'Keefe writes back, wow, you're upset, huh? Coffee, shower, maybe a shave, and troll a good human full morning. I bet it really sets a tone for a healthy, positive day. And I think that's a great like thing for him to say to him. Like, dude, why does this guy feel so compelled to comment in such a negative way? Someone released the book. I read the book. Like, I have my own opinions about it, but if they're not positive and if I'm not going to encourage, like, whatever, like, why do you feel compelled to bash other people and what they have going on? it's just like, fuck, man. Like, come on. Like, if guys are becoming more capable, unlocking and going through something hard, and the best thing that you could do is sit there and troll them for doing that. Like, dude, I don't know, man. I think society, and then they just start jumping on each other. Right. So then you have, then all of a sudden it's like this effect where people feel like they have to chime in because, oh yeah, that, you know, and it just becomes this thing. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate we've gotten there. You know,
it's super unfortunate. And like, I always go back to, I think Gary Vee is originally the one that put this in my head. And I think it's a great way to think about it. Like, you almost have to have empathy for the person that is in such a place where they're spending their time and energy to put a comment like that out there. Like, if you really do think about what it might take for that to be what you want to spend your time doing, like, damn, man, that sucks. You know, it is unfortunate. And it's good, because I think it's healthier for you to have less of a like, damn that guy, than like a, man, that guy must be dealing with some shit. And that's unfortunate. And I hope that he figures out whatever he needs to figure out to not feel compelled to put a comment like that up, because then he'll be in a better place. Because honestly, the reason, like, hurt people. And that's incredibly true. And that sucks for the person that's putting that out there, because they got to be hurting some way.
Dude. And then how does that affect Brooke and others? I mean, obviously they learn to deal with this stuff, but
for sure,
still it does affect. Right. And that's one of the reasons why I love doing stuff in person, is because you get to connect with real people talking about real
and
things.
No one will ever say stuff like that in person.
Ever.
No one will ever say like that, something like that in person.
Bro,
ever. Especially the people that say that stuff behind a keyboard are also like the last person that'll ever think about saying like something to that person. If that person saw Brooke Wells, they'd probably be the person to be like, Brooke, can I get a picture?
Dude, 100%. It's,
I love you, Brooke.
Yeah. I've been a fan forever, but
yeah,
I'm going to,
yeah.
And, fuck, and then you start trolling just to troll. I think that, you know, anyways, not, I don't need to go off on a huge tangent on this, but I think that with the stuff like that, it might not be your cup of tea. But just because it's not your cup of tea doesn't mean you need to hate on it. It's like you said with Zoom. If that's what's getting those people to be moving every day,
Zumba,
then hell yeah. Like then Zuma your ass off. And I hope it goes great for you. And I hope you find the best music in the entire world. And that should be the mindset, right? It's like, I just want to see people doing their thing. And I think as you get older and as you mature, you start to realize like, bro, you just want to see people around you, like with positive energy that are doing good things. And if you find yourself going down this rabbit hole where you start judging other people online because they're doing something different, so you gotta look in the mirror and be like, why does that impact me? Like, what impact does that have on me that these guys are doing this, that I have to then feel like I'm validating my position by commenting on it? It's like, dude, just let it go. Like, it's fine. You
let
know,
it go.
Just let it go. It's going to be okay. I do on the next podcast, we should talk about a few topics, from this book that I actually took screenshots from, Boys Adrift, which is the book that I recently read. And I took screenshots of a few things that I think were worth discussing.
Let's dive into the book next episode. We'll do like a Jocko type. You can kind of like share some of the screenshots you took, and then we can talk about it. I thought that was a really powerful way to do it.
Yeah. The one thing that I thought was really interesting, and I'll just read, this is interesting, and then we can kind of leave it at this, is that recent work comparing the human genome with the chimpanzee genome suggests that I, a male writing this book, share 99.4% of my genes with male chimpanzees, slightly more than I share with a human female. That does not mean, I hope, that I am in general more like a male chimpanzee than I am like a female human. But in certain specific ways, for example, in the way I see, hear, and smell, I may actually have more in common with a male chimpanzee than I have with a human female. And those areas of commonality are important to understand. And so he goes on and talking about aggression and the reason why play and whatnot. I thought that was super interesting to me. Like, could you imagine that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's really interesting, man. It's interesting stuff how, yeah, I mean, we can get into it, but just the differences between male and female and how that goes into parenting boys and girls and, you know, the different takeaways that they should have from their dad and their mom, a lot of interesting angles you can take it, to just be conscious of. But yeah, I haven't picked up the book yet, but I'm excited to.
Yeah. So Boys Adrift, we'll talk about it on the next podcast. Like I said, I read these books and I take screenshots of pages that I feel compelled by, because I actually borrowed it from a friend of mine. So I'm gonna give it back to him. I'm sure he's gonna lend it out to somebody else. And then I'm reading another current book that we could talk about on a future podcast once I'm done. It's a really long book. So yeah, man, I think get excited for future podcasts. Go back, check out the others. I believe Marcus Philly is last week, depending on how we cycle these out. And I think that podcast was super interesting. We have a lot of great podcasts, whether it's a Coffee Cleep, a short format, we got Q&As, we have these longer form that Gabe and I do, or at times we have a guest. I think if you just go back, check them out. We want to be at your top of your list for 2024 Spotify and get more people than we had for 2023. So make sure you guys go back, check out those episodes. We really appreciate you guys. Sign up for our newsletter. All of those links are in the podcast show notes. You're not going to hear any crazy ads on this show or anything, whatever. We're just talking about our lives. But the simple ask is leave us a rating, leave us a review, share it with a friend. And if you can, sign up for the newsletter. That's the ask. There's no pitch on, you know, buying the next big product here. I mean, just join the newsletter.
But seriously, check out the Train Hard merch, because it is sweet merch. I mean, check out this sweatshirt, man. Dude, the sweatshirts are so comfortable. Like Jason went on that whole spiel and then I'm like, but also check out the merch. No, so seriously, the Train Hard merch is solid.
So I'm wearing the ghosted Train Hard. So it's a little harder to see it. You're wearing the one with the white, which was good. We learned a little bit on this first round of merch, but I will tell you, these sweatshirts are the most comfortable sweatshirts. They're so comfortable. And t-shirts are good. They're great. And the flags are badass. But we nailed it on
the sweatshirts are top tier.
Sweatshirts are top tier. So wintertime, grab your sweatshirt. Make sure to visit the podcast show notes. Go back, check out the other episodes. And most importantly, keep training hard.